looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Stores, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun. Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
High deep drive! He crushed it! It's a grand slam! Wow!
I'm telling you, it's time to party! How about that?
One of the most electrifying at-bats of the season, and I mean anywhere in the major leagues. Mookie Betts slaughters a grand slam!
That at bat, it was cool to see the fans standing up, and as soon as he hit that ball, this place went crazy. I think the city's starting to like this team. It's a likable group. They play hard. They show up every day, and regardless of the results, they'll show up the next day. So it's good to see the plays like that, you know, very loud and into it.
So obviously Red Sox manager Alex Cora last night after what was one of the more dramatic moments of this Red Sox season over at Fenway Park. 617-779-0985 is the number here on the Baseball Reporters on this Friday. And by now you know it's our last day in our Brighton studio. We'll be moving into Dorchester next week. And so, but nothing will really change for those of you who listen to the show. So you can continue to listen right here at 98.5. And again, 617-779-0985. Here's where I want to start tonight. That comment by Alex Cora. Because I admit, the last couple of nights, the Red Sox season has felt different to me the last couple of nights. And it's clearly not the opponent. Okay, it's clearly not the opponent. I mean, a couple of nights ago, it was the Texas Rangers. Last night, it's the Toronto Blue Jays. Chris Sale turns a double play, pumps his fist, covers his face, yells a profanity, walks off the mound. The place felt alive, right? The place felt alive.
Without a doubt.
And then last night, Mookie Betts with that 13-pitch at bat. What a phenomenal baseball moment, and what a phenomenal Fenway moment last night at Fenway Park. Betts hits the grand slam. He's down in the count 1-2, battles through to 3-2, and on the 13th pitch, which I think was it the 47th pitch of the inning for Jay Happ at that point? The 47th pitch. Betts hits a grand slam. The Red Sox go on to win the game. And the night became less about David Price than it did about Mookie Betts, and really even more globally or more broadly, this Red Sox team. And you heard Cora say it. I think people are starting to embrace this team. I think people are starting to believe in this team. And so look, you people know where I stand at this point. Okay, I've watched the Red Sox my whole life. Someone said to me today, I met someone today for the first time, who said, "Can I ask you an honest question? Are you at all a fan? Like, do you?
Why are you so joyless?
Like, do you hate the team?" And I said, "No, I am a fan. Of course, I'm a fan. I grew up here. The Red Sox are every bit in my blood as much as they are in yours. The difference is that I have to do a radio show every day about it during baseball season, and also I cover them for a long period of time. And so when you start doing the job, it's a little like being a lawyer." Right, you sort of sit there, and your job is to argue the case. That's what your job is. What, you know, specifically what you feel is not necessarily, and I don't want to mislead you either, because my beliefs are my beliefs. I've seen enough baseball at this stage where, hey, look, the Red Sox are having a hell of a season. But I also think the definitive judgment on this team is not going to be made until October. Now, that said, a lot of you accuse me along the way of not enjoying it. So you know what I'm going to do for you tonight? I'm going to try to enjoy it. The last couple of nights, that's been some pretty good stuff. And you know what makes it good stuff? The intensity. And what is most interesting to me about last night in particular and the Betts at bat, it's not the grand slam. The Red Sox hit six of them early in the season in about a month span, or whatever it was. They were on some ridiculous pace as far as grand slams go. I've seen them hit a grand slam before. And that's not it. And it's not even the 13-pitch at bat. I've seen 13-pitch at bats. They don't always result in grand slams. But you know what it was? It was Betts' reaction. That's what it was. When have you seen Mookie Betts react like that? And I'm throwing this at Billy quickly. You know what? And he's not going to be able to find it on the fly. But David Price said last night after the game, he's never seen Mookie Betts that emotional on a baseball field.
I know I haven't. I've seen a couple of strong fist pumps here and there. You know, after hitting a double, or you know, sometimes he's stretched out to a triple. I remember a couple of times, like, okay, there's a little bit of emotion from Mookie Betts. That last night, it was a straight up wow moment, and it was, I'm with you, like, okay, that was an impressive at bat, but it was everything that came after it that made me look at it, and specifically the player, and say, oh wow, you know, there is something going on here. As much of an a-hole as I've been towards this team and my disbelief in them, and my asterisk on the now 66 wins, look, I've seen enough sports in my life to see these last couple of nights, there is something a little bit different about them. Like, there is a ballsiness with certain players like Betts that you'd be a fool to deny.
So Billy did find the cut. Just quick, Billy, go ahead and play it.
You know, that was a very big moment. You know, that's the most excited I've seen Mookie on the baseball field, you know, there and his home run in Milwaukee. You know, I say it to all the time. You know, I want to see that emotion again from Milwaukee. So I'm happy it came on my day the way that it did today, and that was a good win for us.
Okay, honestly, I don't know what the hell he's talking about Milwaukee. I don't remember any emotional home run from Mookie Betts in Milwaukee. Maybe there was one. The fans probably remember it. I don't. That one last night, I will remember. And you know what it is about the emotion? Like, Mario, you say the balls and the heart, and all of that is true. I'm not dismissing any of that. But what it tells me more than anything about the Red Sox, and this is what I want to ask the fans and the listeners tonight. Okay, what it tells me more than anything, oh man, they are into it. They believe. They believe. Betts believes. They are, this winning streak, this 10-gamer, they've bought in. They're looking at it going, no, we're good. They believe. And we've seen it with teams before. When they start to believe they're good, often they're better than they really are. And listen, this team here, this Red Sox team is good. Now, I don't know if they're as good as the Globe suggested today. Alex Speer online said, could this be the greatest Red Sox team of all time? Oh, as Billy Lanny, our producer tonight, would say, can we pump the brakes on that one, please? Pump the brakes. Okay, let's not get stupid. They're having a hell of a regular season. But once they start believing and they start thinking they can win every game, well, hell, this team's getting pretty damn close. What are they now? 66-29? Is that what they are?
Yeah.
Is it 66-29? They are 37 games over 500. Think of that. They could lose 37 games in a row and still be 500. Okay? 37 games in a row. So I just think in 2013, this was one of the reasons they won. They started believing. They started buying into that. They thought they could beat anyone and grind out wins and do it no matter who they were playing. Now, that team wasn't as good as this one, and it won the World Series. So I don't mean to dump on the 2013 Red Sox again. I know how you feel about that. But this Red Sox team, oh, they believe. You can see it. They're into it. They're going to go out there tonight, and they're going to try to win 11 in a row. And then tomorrow, 12, and Sunday, 13. And if you care, the longest winning streak in club history is 15. I think it's within reach. You have Toronto this weekend. You've got Detroit after the break. And you've got Baltimore after that. 15's not out of the question. I do have a big picture question for you, too, as it pertains. And I asked this earlier in the week quickly, but I want to ask it a little more seriously now. Who's your MVP on this team? On this team? Jason Stark of The Athletic online the other day wrote that he believes that Mike Trout is the MVP of the American League. So again, I disagree with him. I think it's one of two guys on this team. It's either Mookie Betts or it's J.D. Martinez. You can make an argument for Chris Sale if you want it, but I think it's one of those two guys. I'll tell you who my pick is, and so will Murray when we come back. But first, I'll tell you what, let's squeeze in a call or two. Jeff is in air. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, Ness. I was wondering if you think that Benintendi can keep these numbers up that he's been putting up the first half of the season and into the second half and even into the beginning of next season.
So, look, Jeff, I think Benintendi's a good player. Talent's not his problem. So, if you're asking me, do I think Benintendi could be this good, my answer is yes. The one question I had about Benintendi coming into the big leagues is whether he could hit for power consistently. So he looks a little stronger. He's on what? I think he's got 14 home runs right now. You know, they played 97 games, so I can't do the math that quickly. It's under 30, but he's a 25 home run player at the moment. I think that that's probably what he's going to be in his career, 20 to 25 home runs. Last year he hit 20. But he's a complete ball player. He's running the bases effectively, at least with regard to steals. It's been a while since he made a stupid mistake on the bases. So, in theory, the more you play, the better you get. Yes. I'll tell you what, quickly, Tim and Attleboro, but you got to go fast.
Hey, man, you know what? After last night, and look, I listened to the doc side after you guys. You usually recognize I got tonight off. But you're saying, like, major leagues, they're not bringing in a lot of people that watch the game, but you got to look at it over the coming years. And you're probably my age, around 58, maybe 5 years younger. That Hispanic, Puerto Rican, Dominican, that's what the future of baseball is. And I think that the ratings are going to be up there. I said last night when Mookie did that was just got everybody charged and we're ready to. We need someone to stand up like Kevin Millar and say, we're going to kick the Yankees' butt when they play him like they did back 10 years ago.
Yeah, Tim, you know what? I don't need Kevin Millar. You know, to me, you want good players and competitive players, and Millar was competitive. I don't need a cheerleader, though. We don't need a cheerleader on the team. That's not what I'm talking about. I think J.D. Martinez has become a leader. I think this team now believes in itself. Now, whether they will when New York comes in here, I don't know. I mean, this is the question. Can they beat good competition in big moments? Can they do it? But the role they're on right now, what you should take out of that Mookie Betts home run last night, they're into it, man. They've bought in. He hits the grand slam. The place goes bananas. He comes back to the dugout. The Red Sox, they get something going there. And it's fun to watch. It is. The big picture challenges for them are the same, but it's fun to watch. We're going to relive that Mookie Betts at bat when we come back. And in fact, we're going to relive it later in the show in a way that should make you appreciate it even better. Or even more. We'll do that when we come back.
Here's the thing I find most amazing. Baseball gets caught up.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Kimbrel with the 2-2. High fly to right field. That ought to do it. Mookie Betts is under. That's poetic. He's the man who hit the grand slam that we're going to remember all summer long. And the Red Sox have won it 6-4.
Dave O'Brien and Nesson on the final call of the game last night. And it was, you know, poetic's a good way to put it. The ball ended in the glove of Mookie Betts. By the way, I went through this earlier. I went through the whole at bat. So did Billy Lanny. Billy Lanny recorded the whole at bat, 7.5 minutes last night. And if you play the fallout of it, or the aftermath of it, meaning the celebration and Eckersley's commentary and Dave O'Brien's commentary, the whole thing goes almost 10 minutes before another pitch is thrown. Right, like from the first pitch of Mookie Betts' at bat through the grand slam and the next batter, almost 10 minutes went by before a pitch was thrown to someone else. Right, so we talk about this lack of action and stuff in Major League Baseball. That at-bat was pretty good. I mean, that at-bat was pretty good. And it gets better as it goes. So at the beginning, you're like, all right already. But as it gets deeper and deeper into it, then people get into it. The crowd stands on its feet. All of that in. I say this all as a long way of getting to this point. O'Brien's call, the home run, was terrific. It really was. It was terrific.
An X reaction is just so natural.
You know, yeah, let's party, man.
Yeah.
Right, let's go. I mean, because that's Eck. That was Eck in his heyday. Let's party. And it was a smash of a home run. And just quickly, I tweeted this last night, and this gets me to the bigger picture question I have for people. Mookie Betts, boy, right now, I think he leads the league in batting average, on base, slugging, and obviously OPS. I think he leads, I take it back. He's second on base because Trout's first. So first in average, first in slugging, first in OPS, second in on base. Mookie Betts, when I watch him hit, is the closest thing I've seen to Nomar Garciaparra in his prime. And you remember Garciaparra in 2 years hit .357 and .372, and he was hitting 30 home runs a year. Okay, this kid right now is a similar kind of hitter. He's got unbelievable hand speed. Unbelievable. And now he's hitting the ball the other way with some power. Not to the point where I fully believe that he can hit those bullpens regularly, but he's playing his ass off. So this brings me to my question. Mookie Betts or J.D. Martinez? Right now, who's the MVP of the Red Sox? Murray, you go first. Go.
It's J.D. Martinez. I think he's made a bigger difference overall in the lineup. And what is it, 28 home runs, 112 hits? Like, the dude's legit, and he can mash. To me, he's the MVP. On a side note, who's the leader of the team? I think it's now Mookie Betts. But the MVP of the team, just going on stats alone and what the difference he's made in the offense, it's me, for me, it's J.D. Martinez.
So Billy Lanny is filling in for our producer, Jimmy Stewart. Billy, who would you pick as the MVP of the team right now?
I'm with Murray, J.D. Martinez, could okay, be a so, Triple Crown winner.
So look, I asked this earlier in the week quickly. I said, if you want to have a fun discussion as a Red Sox fan, you're at a bar and you're out talking to your buddies, you know, ask, who's the MVP, J.D. Martinez or Mookie Betts? And now, today, you ask it again, and everyone wants to say Mookie because of last night. And I say J.D. Okay, and here is why. I mean, I went through and looked all this stuff up this morning. I wrote about it on our website, 98.5thesportshub.com. Okay? You go right through. Games played, batting average, on base, slugging, OPS, home runs, RBI, runs scored, stolen bases. I even put defensive runs saved on there because I wanted to factor in Mookie's defense. And Betts has the edge over Martinez in seven of them. Seven of those ten. The only ones Martinez has an edge, games played, home runs, RBI. That's it. That's it. Otherwise, Mookie's got him in every other thing. And I still think J.D. Martinez is the MVP of the Red Sox. I still believe that. And the reason I say that is because this guy's a game changer. He is the one significant difference in this lineup from a year ago. Now, Mookie's playing better, but Mookie had a hell of a year 2 years ago. Not this good, but a hell of a year. This guy, J.D. Martinez, he completely changes the lineup. He completely changes the landscape of that team. I think he's become a leader, and when I think when he gets in the box, it scares the crap out of other teams. They don't know what to do with him anymore. And to me, it's J.D. You're not wrong if you say Betts. But to me, the ripple effect of J.D. Martinez, tidal waves. Tidal waves for ripple effects. This guy's been off the charts good. Joe's in Peabody. Joe, what do you got?
Hey, what's up, Matt? So you answered my question about price, basically. So I'm just going to weigh in. I wish you guys said it afterwards, but definitely J.D., when Murray said he's legit, like, he comes here, he plays, and he's rocking and rolling, and I love the guy.
Hey, Joe, what were you going to say about Price?
So, Maz, how did you feel about the ovation for what he did?
Hated it.
Really?
Yeah, how did you feel? I hated it. How did you feel?
I wanted to puke on myself.
Okay, so look, I get it. I mean, we talked about this a little bit earlier today. David Price had a better game last night. He dug him a 2-0 hole. I mean, as soon as I heard the home run, because I hear the beginning of the game on the way home, obviously.
The reaction should be figures.
I mean, as soon as that happened, did you go, oh, my God, they've won 9 in a row, and here you go.
Of course.
Here you go. First inning, 2-run bomb. Are you serious?
Well, the way that the guy's been going the last couple of games, and really the overall body of work in a moment like this, it shouldn't have been shocking at all.
And so the fact is, Mookie Betts bailed out David Price last
night.
Exactly. Okay, he bailed him out. So if you want to give him look, and I get it, as a fan, I told you, you know what a great story would be? Price pitching well in October. And you want to get him there as a fan. I get that. Murray's rooting against him.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not. I'm trying to go neither for nor against. But if he pitches well in October, that's a great story. But a standing ovation on July 12th against the Toronto Blue Jays? That's a little bit much. Let's save it for when he beats the Yankees, at least. James in New Hampshire. James, go.
Matt, how you doing?
Good.
I really enjoy listening to you and Murray because you guys are realists. So I have a couple things to say, and I know we're short on time. So, number one, I'm really excited to hear that this is an option. These are two potential AL MVP candidates. That, quite honestly, turns me on. Number two, what I'm really excited about is Chris Sale and Mookie Betts this week. Something's happening with this team. I'm in regardless of the competition that they've been playing against, and this team is really exciting me right now. And you know what? I'm watching this game tonight, and I'm excited.
So, James, look, again, I get it. The last couple of nights should get you fired up. The team's fired up.
And the numbers reflect it, too. They got a 9-4 last night, which is a ridiculous rating for them right now.
And the night before, I think, was like an 8-7.
Yeah.
Right? So, basically, they've averaged a 9 the last two nights, and that's a big number, Murray. It's a big number. You know, typically, they're in the 6 area, 6 range. They've averaged a 6, I think, for the early part of this season. These last couple of games have crept up to a 9. So, my question is it the winning streak? Is it some of the drama from the last two nights? Is it this fact? Because, again, someone said this to me today. Well, you know, now kind of life has slowed down. It is summer. You can actually sit and watch some of the games and sort of invest in it a little. There's no basketball free agency. There's no NFL yet. There's no NHL. And to me, this is one of the things that baseball banks on. Major League Baseball banks on having the stage in July and, for the most part, August. Then September, things start to change. But in July and August, it's a monopoly. Let me quickly squeeze in one more call. Chuck's in a car. Chuck, you got to go fast.
Okay, you know, if I recall, in 2013, you felt the same way, even maybe right up until the end before they even won the World Series. But what changed your tone then? And are you leaning on really, leaving it up to Price to change your tone, if how he does towards the playoffs?
Chuck, this team's better than the team in 2013, but when you say I didn't buy in on that team, you're right. I didn't.
Yeah.
And this team has a better chance of winning in October than I thought that team did. But the 2013 team, that collection of players, to just not finish last was an accomplishment for them. Right? You understand that?
Mind? Yeah, but what was it that finally said, okay, this team can go all the way? Or maybe you didn't even, I can't remember. Maybe you didn't think they still could.
In 2013 or now?
Yeah, in 2013.
Oh, in 2013, I didn't think they could. Murray will tell you that. I don't think I switched over until like late August or September. Hell, it might have been October. These guys will tell you it was Game 6 of the World Series that I finally came around. And that team did. That team had an intangible. And the thing I underestimated with that team in 2013, they bought in. They started thinking they were better than they were. And that because of that, they beat teams they shouldn't have beaten. This team last night, the last couple of nights, you know what I see? I see a team that thinks it's even better than it is, and they're good. I mean, you know, they're on pace for 112 wins. They think they're better than they really are, and when that happens, you think you can beat anybody. I still need to see it, but that will serve them well to see guys jumping down the first baseline like Mookie Betts was last night. I told you, this team, to me, they haven't played with enough anger, intensity, passion. I haven't seen it. Not real passion. And I don't mean frolicking in center field, pretending to take movies, win, dance, repeat. I mean whipping the bat and pumping the fist and really meaning it. And the last couple of nights, you've seen it. Again, I want to see it against the Yankees. I want to see it against the Astros. I want to see it in October. But for now, I'll take it. And so should you. When we come back, we're going to go through the Mookie Betts at bat last night. But we're going to do it in a way that should keep you entertained, I think, and we'll take your calls. Murray's got your headlines.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Red Sox will go for their 11th win in a row tonight and their 67th win of the year. It's only July 13th. They are taking on the Toronto Blue Jays yet again. They opened up the series last night with a 6-4 win. Tonight, you get Rick Porcello on the mound going for the Red Sox. Toronto countering with Ryan Borycki. Porcello 3-0 with a 3.16 earned run average over his past four starts. And he's given up two earned runs or less in six of his past eight starts. 2-0 with a 3.29 ERA in his two starts against the Jays this season. Certainly favors the Sox with first pitch at 7:10. Also a bit of a lineup tweak, as you'll see Sam Travis at designated hitter for the Red Sox tonight. That's because he was brought up from AAA Pawtucket to fill Andrew Benintendi's spot on the 25-man roster. Benintendi placed on the bereavement list earlier today. A free agent guard, Isaiah Thomas, agreeing to a one-year, $2 million deal with the Denver Nuggets today. Running back DeMarco Murray, at 30 years old, announced his retirement after seven seasons in the NFL. He had a marathon match at Wimbledon today in the semifinals as Kevin Anderson defeated John Isner. It took 6 hours, 36 minutes. It was the second longest match at a major in tennis history. Headlines are brought to you by World War II weekend at the Deerfield Fairgrounds, July 21st and 22nd. You won't want to miss this historic event. Get tickets before they sell out at mwmuseum.com. I'm Jim Murray for Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 Sports Hub. Next update at 7.
We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporter. Tony Mazzara, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So here's what we're going to do. I told you, today I went through the Mookie at bat again. The at-bat itself, from the first pitch, crack of the bat, the sound of the mitt, the ball hitting the mitt, to the crack of the bat on the Grand Slam, 7.5 minutes. So think of that unto itself, right? 13 pitches in 7.5 minutes. Jay Happ, could you work a little faster? Like, holy crap. It should be 3 pitches a minute. That thing should have taken 3.5, 4 minutes tops. It took 7.5. Nonetheless, Billy's going to start it here. We're going to start the at-bat for you, and he's going to run it underneath the show here. Very, very low, so as not to disrupt us, Murray, because we have a high level of discourse here on the Baseball Reporters, as you know. It's a very high plane of discussion. So, Billy, start the at-bat.
Look at that thing right there. Starts him off at 94 for strike one.
Okay, there you go. Strike one. Let's lower it now, Billy. Put it down nice and low. Might even have to go a little bit lower than that.
That sounds like a nice...
That's pretty good, Murray. You think it's good there?
It's a good level.
And we're going to take calls. And then every once in a while, we'll check in and see where the at-bat is.
Right.
Okay, so it's 6:42 right now. We'll check back in a couple of minutes and see how Mookie's doing against Jay Happ in the fifth inning last night against the Blue Jays. In the interim, Ryan is in Weymouth. Ryan, what do you got?
Hey, guys, what's going on? Before I address my topic, I know the Sox need a bullpen arm, but my main question is the starting pitching. So I have a buddy that we work with right down the street from your new Beasley Media Station place in Dorchester, and we were looking at Erod, Price, and Porcello specifically against Houston, Yankees, and Seattle. Against all three of those teams, they want to combine 6-for-6. Each of them were 2-2. Their two wins that they had against the teams, they went 6 innings and above and gave up.
All right, so Ryan, what's your ultimate point here? Ultimately, what are you getting at?
Do you think we need a starting pitcher?
I'll tell you what. So this was also about Billy. Turn it up for a minute. What's going on right now?
Is still alive.
All right. Well, that's good.
So this was the pop-up to smoke.
Oh, yep. You could make them pay right now.
Yes, you could, Eck. Almost prophetic that you would say that. Billy, I'll tell you what. Let it run, but take it all the way down because it feels like it's confusing the caller a little bit. Maybe it's confusing me. And then I'll just ask you to turn it back up again, and we'll see where we are. But do I think the Red Sox need a starting pitcher? My answer is no. Murray, where are you on the starting pitcher?
I've come off of it. You know, when the Mets were first talking about maybe moving to Jake DeGrom and Noah Syndergaard, in theory, I would love a guy like that. Not like Dave Dombrowski has any pieces to deal for a player like that, especially with, you know, them being under team control. But other than that, just to add an arm because I maybe don't trust someone like David Price going forward, no. I think you're set at your rotation.
So, look, to me, you can never have enough. Of course, I would take a starting pitcher, but they don't have enough to make a lot of deals, and I don't think it's a priority. Now, the one scenario I would allow for, if you could get a starter cheaper than a reliever and put Price in the bullpen, fine. I would, you know. But to me, the best case scenario is Price pitches great. And again, I just said best case scenario. I didn't say I believe that it was likely. Price pitches great as a starter. You trade for a setup man who can also close and can close next year. And you get both. To me, that is really the best case scenario. Patrick on J.D. Martinez, he's in L.A. Patrick, what do you got?
Hey, good afternoon, Mass. Listen, I just want to know, if J.D. keeps this up the way he's going and he opts out, would you give him the money?
So, Patrick, he can't opt out until the end of next season. You know that, right?
Yeah, no, I understand that. Let's just say that he keeps going the way he is now into next year. And he's up. Would you offer him the big contract?
Okay, so it depends on the length of the deal, but if he continues to hit the way he's hitting, and I'll tell you what, it's an interesting question. I'll let you go there. If J.D. Martinez produces, Murray, over the rest of the season and next season and in the playoffs, like he has to this point, would you pay him, call it, $35 million a year? It's probably going to be higher, but would you give him $35 million a year? Would you give him Miguel Cabrera money?
Yeah, but the bigger concern for me is he's getting Mookie Betts locked up long term. You know, that's priority number one. But yeah, I mean, look, if J.D. Martinez does end up having that kind of season in postseason, yes, but Betts is priority number one.
So what would concern me with J.D. Martinez is the length of the contract. And I don't know what length I'd be willing to go to with him. I'd have to think about that because I honestly am so far away from it, I don't want to get too far down that road. But I do think that Yes, I would want to pay him and keep him because I don't think they have a ton coming through their organization. How's that at bat going? Mookie Betts last night against J-Hap. Billy, where are they now?
Oh, another change. He doubled up on that.
Oh, yeah.
Mookie Betts did a great job to hang in.
I guarantee you Hap has never had an inning like this. 40-something pitches? I mean, come on.
He's got to be thinking, when will it end?
You can get your lunch with 40-something pitches. He's only given up one run.
So far. Let's see what the next pitch is and what the count is.
1-2. Spoiled again.
Wow. 1-2, foul. So he's still going to throw a couple of balls. Billy, you can lower it again. We got a little ways to go yet. Tommy's in a car. Tommy, what do you got?
Hey, Maz. Hey, Murray. Thanks for taking my call. I do have a question. You were talking earlier about trading for a closer that perhaps you could have for next year. I know Kimbrel's been great. I know his save percentage is great, but it seems like he has all of his saves when we're up by three runs against the Rays or the Orioles. Would we ever think of taking maybe an NBA approach and trading Kimbrel for somebody, a bat, a pitch, for whatever, and trying to make the best out of that?
Doing it at this trade deadline?
Yes.
No. No, and I'll tell you why, Tommy. Because right now he's your most reliable reliever. And so you're already out there looking. And again, there was a Jerry Krasnick story in the Worldwide Leader this week, ESPN.com, where Krasnick said that, according to a major league executive, the Red Sox weren't just out there looking for a reliever. They were looking for, quote-unquote, a guy. A guy. They want a legitimate guy in that bullpen. And I told you, in my mind, the best-case scenario for the Red Sox is to trade for a young guy under control who can close. That way you let Kimbrel leave at the end of the year. No matter what happens, you're not going to pay him $17 million a year, which is what Wade Davis got with the Colorado Rockies. 3 years, $52 million, 17 and change for Wade Davis. So I don't think the Red Sox want to do that. Not with the cash commitments they already have. So you know what? You go get a closer who's under control. You bring him in. He stays. You let Kimbrel go. And now you've not only have you saved the money from Kimbrel, but you also have gotten your closer already for next season. To me, that's how it goes. Billy, let's check. Excuse me. Let's check in on. I sounded like Happy Walters there, Murray. Let's check in on Betts again.
Hang on at first, second, and third. And the count goes to 3-2.
He's got enough energy to throw another fastball for a strike.
So we got a full count
just
now.
Shove something right into the ground. Well, you can't blame him.
So that was almost a pass ball. That was a ball in the dirt.
That had to be a changeup.
Billy, is that 2 minutes to go to the end of the file or to the home run?
45-pitch tired changeup.
Okay, tell you what. Turn it down. Let's squeak in one more call. George is in Wayland. George, what do you got?
Tony, Jim, love you guys. Don't change. So on the Mookie versus JD debate, MVP debate, I feel as though Mookie has a more well-rounded game, and
he does.
I'm driving, so I don't have the numbers, but do you know what Mookie's record, what the Red Sox record was? Mookie was injured.
Yes, I looked it up this morning, George. I'm glad you brought it. I was waiting for someone to bring it up. 8-6. They went 8-6 with Mookie out of the lineup. So that to me works in his favor. Tell you what, here's what we're gonna do. Let me just tell you quickly, Baseball Reporters brought to you by Mohegan Sun. Unlimited possibilities await you at Mohegan Sun. Plan your stay at MohiganSun.com. Let's check in with Mookie Betts again and let him take us a break.
Slaughter's a grand slam. An incredible at bat. An amazing inning.
Just the way the Red Sox are going, it was time to party again, I'm telling you.
Number 23 for Mookie Betts. Boy. That was on the 46th pitch of the inning.
And he absolutely lost it. Crossover down. See, this one was down for a ball. And he golfs this thing out of here. Watch him. He knows he crushed it. And he is just getting off. I'm tough. Boom. Look at him. He's loving it. Whoa, careful. Boy, that's as excited as I've ever seen him. He battled and battled and took him bridge.
And a huge smile from Price. As the Red Sox have taken a 5-2 lead. That's the kind of season this is.